Good morning or good afternoon. It's morning here in Portland, but I know it's afternoon in at least a few of the places where you're calling from today. And I'm just really glad that you're here on this call. If you read the email that I sent today, the reminder email, I shared that I had a rather difficult and emotional weekend and considered postponing or canceling this call. I have to admit, when I went back and looked at my description of it, I felt like after experiencing the loss of my friend this weekend that it was a little, a little flip or blithe, I might say. But I realized that while I wrote the description of the topic with different circumstances in mind, that in fact I was really using that whole concept of feeling good, and I'm doing finger quotes around that because I want to define that for us in just a minute. But feeling good in order to really get through the weekend and to deal with my emotions over what happened. So don't be surprised if I have some tears throughout this. I'm just going to keep on going, and I hope that you will please ask questions and provide comments and whatever else feels useful to you. I'm going to be sharing a lot of my personal experience using this stuff today, but I also want to make sure that it's really relevant to you and your situation. And that being said, I want to really emphasize that this is something that was really useful to me this weekend, and it's also something like I originally intended for much less difficult situations too. So don't feel that that if you have something you want to be coached on or you have a question about, that it is not as important or frivolous or anything like that. Any situation in which you find yourself feeling bad is a situation that I would love to help you change. So with all that being said, let's just take a moment and take a few deep breaths, at least I know I need to, and turn our attention to this call and what I'm going to be talking about, what we're going to be learning, and the whole purpose behind these calls of exploring and playing these different ways of being with ourselves and being with other people. You can just let this be a time where anything else that was happening before this call or anything that you'll be doing after this call, you can just put it to the side, knowing that it'll be waiting for you when we're finished. And keep your attention on what we're talking about today and how it can be useful to you, and how it might be useful to you in supporting others and being with others. Okay, so to start with, as I said, I'm putting finger quotes now around feeling good because that's the part that felt a little bit cheery for me as I was going through the weekend. And the thing is that feeling good, you know, can really have a full range, quite a range of experience for each of us and for different situations. You know, feeling good can be that really energized, joyful, alive feeling. It can be more of a calm feeling, a feeling of being safe and strong and even capable. And that's really what I'm talking about feeling good, is it's that core, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's that core knowing that you're okay. Like, it's just this core okayness. It's a place of tranquility where you could be really present in the moment and let all the other feelings and emotions wash over that. And to help explain that a little bit, I want to talk about that, what feeling bad is. Because feeling bad is usually related to wanting to protect yourself in some way. Like there's some sense of risk or adversity or danger. And the feeling bad is a way to try to protect yourself from that. And it's often about, feeling bad is often about having feelings about your feelings, which is to say thinking that you should be feeling a different way, or, you know, having guilt about feeling a certain way, but it's just that feelings about feelings. Feeling bad is also happens when you extrapolate out, when you're not present, when you're going into what ifs and worst case scenarios and all of that. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about feeling bad. So the sort of the basic essence of the feeling good is this core feeling of you're okay. And then the feeling bad is like everything beyond that, where like you don't feel okay. You're not sure that you're okay. And the reason why this is so important is that when at a really deep level you know you're okay, you can respond to just about any situation that comes up. And you can respond to yourself and to others with compassion, and you have space for everything that's happening, and you can really feel whatever emotions are coming up for you without all this other stuff getting in the way. And that was what I really noticed this weekend was by staying really present with whatever it was that I was doing in that moment, I could really fully experience it. Whether it was being with my friend who just had a new baby, preterm, just a tiny little but perfectly healthy boy, and like being able to be really present and experience that and the joy of that and like the amazingness of it. And, you know, I don't have children by choice, and so it's always interesting to me to see like how many other things come up when a friend of mine has a child and all of those things. But you know, I could put all of that to the side and just be really aware of, like, it's pretty miraculous, this little tiny human being. And then the same thing with grief over another friend's sudden death, completely unexpected. And when I was in a place where I had that deep knowing that I'm okay, I could have the grief and the sadness and the anger and all the feelings that come up over that and not get washed away by them, but really experience them and be present in that moment. And that's why I decided to stay with this class today and teach it, because as I mentioned in the blog post about it, I was thinking about things like, you know, all the crazy emotions that were going on with the elections and all the crazy emotions that are coming up with the holidays and dealing with all of that. And all of that is still relevant. And this is also important at a much deeper level. So let me just take a moment and see if any of you have any questions or comments or anything at this point before I go on and talk about how to actually do this. And you can hit 5-star to raise your hand and I'll unmute you. And it doesn't look like we have any questions, so I will continue on with how to actually do this. Now, it's always helpful to know what that feeling is like inside you before you have any of these overwhelming feelings that can take you for a ride. So I encourage you right now to just take a moment and get in touch with that feeling of calmness, that everything is okay, just right now in this moment. And keep coming back to this moment. That's the key to knowing, because you are okay right now in this moment. Wherever you are, whatever is going on in the world, you're okay in this moment. And like really feeling that and getting a sense of what that feels like in your body. And taking time every day, several times throughout the day, to get in touch with that, to become familiar with it, to know what it feels like, to know that you're okay in this moment. Makes it easier to access that when things get difficult. So you start with that. And then that's what you turn to when you notice that things are difficult for you. Whether, you know, you're like crazy happy and you know, want to kind of settle down to get some work done, or whether, you know, you're sad and you need to pay attention to the day-to-day things that need to happen in your life. So whenever you notice that you are having an experience of a difficult emotion, take a moment to get in touch with that calm place. And this isn't about pushing your other feelings away or boxing them up. It's really about feeling those emotions more fully without the extra baggage or the feelings about feelings. And it's giving them space and kindness so you are really giving yourself compassion and those around you compassion. And it allows you to respond to other people and respond to a situation from a place of wholeness. You know, it's like, the cliche is you put on your oxygen mask before you help anyone else. So it's about that. It's also about, you know, that feeling when something has gone wrong and you're telling someone and you really just want empathy. You just want to, like, sort of feel bad about it for a while and they start giving you advice. And how frustrating that could be when someone's giving you advice before you're ready, or maybe giving you advice ever. it's like that. You don't want to try to control how you're feeling. You're simply bringing your whole self present in the moment to experience the feeling. And really, that's the essence of it, is keep bringing yourself back to the present moment and how you want to be feeling. Sometimes it's useful to ask yourself if feeling bad is going to be useful. Is it going to help? Is it going to make the situation any better? And, you know, there may be times when it might be useful for you to do a little forward thinking, to do a little planning, to consider some possibilities. And it's much more useful to do that from a place of feeling strong and capable and okay in yourself. You know, like plans made when you're scattered and scared and unsure are not going to be the best laid plans. So just to sort of go through the things that the kind of checklist of things that you want to do when you're feeling bad is ask yourself if, well, first, remind yourself that you want to be feeling good. Then ask yourself if feeling bad is going to help things, if it's going to make this any better. And then remind yourself of how you really want to be feeling. And then feel whatever it is that you feel. So as an example, I, this weekend, when I would get these waves of sadness and grief, And I would ask myself if they seemed to be going on longer than I felt comfortable with, I would ask myself, is this feeling bad? Am I just experiencing this emotion, or am I starting to feel bad? And if I noticed that I was starting to feel bad, I would recognize that the stories that I was telling myself, you know, what this meant or what this could mean or what, you know, all the possible worst-case scenarios. And bring myself back to what I wanted to be feeling, which is feeling good. And let myself have that sadness while feeling good. It seems like a paradox, but it's a really powerful way to experience your emotions. So I think at this point it would be really useful if I could do a little coaching and guide someone through an experience that where maybe they have felt that in the past, or something they have coming up where they are feeling bad about it or expect that it's going to be difficult. And just guide you through this experience. I think that will be useful for all of us. So if you have something, and again, any situation where you feel bad is worth bringing up, please hit 5-star and I will unmute you.
Hi.
Hi.
So first of all, thank you so much for
Are you still there?
Hey. Oh, yeah. Sorry, it cut out for a second. Thank you so much for the call and for this opportunity. So my question is that I'm in the middle of a job search right now, and I'm trying to, I'm wondering how to hold on to the feeling good while recognizing that I don't have control over sort of all of the options. Like I'm applying, I'm in an academic job search, I'm applying to all of these schools, and I'm kind of waiting to hear back whether there's any interest. And if something doesn't come through for me this year, then I will delay finishing my graduate program. And so I feel like deep down inside, I know that it will be like I'm trying to hang on to this feeling of the goodness of things. But I'm not sure that like on a day-to-day level, it's like this roller coaster of applying to jobs, hoping they'll come through, waiting to hear, hearing that other people have heard, not feeling good about things. And it's just, it's hard to figure out, like, A, how to manage that roller coaster, but B, how to be equally open, like saying yes to all the job possibilities so that I'm in a good mental frame, but also saying yes to the possibility of not finishing this year and just being a student again next year. So I'm having trouble trying to work that out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can completely empathize with that because, you know deep down that you're going to be okay and that things are going to work out. And then you have this experience of getting your hopes up and not knowing, and you know, there's a lot of uncertainty there.
Yeah.
So when specifically do you find it difficult to sort of hold on to this sense of being okay? You know, when specifically do you get, what are you mostly feeling bad?
When I get the news that someone else, like that an institution has contacted someone else to ask for further materials, which then means they won't be asking me for it. Like when I get the sense that other people are moving on and hearing and I am not.
Right, right. And, you know, of course you feel a sense of disappointment when you hear that.
Right.
And, you know, that's completely reasonable and expected. And when you hear that, when you get the news that someone else has heard something and you haven't, what's that experience like for you?
It's like, it's like a mini rejection that I know in my head is also like repeating a whole series of rejections in the past, right? It's like,
right.
Oh, well, I didn't get that fellowship last year. I didn't, like, it's a reminder of like my lack of control and lack of certainty about the whole process.
And that's when you start. Like that extrapolation out, like,
yeah.
Oh, this reminds me of this rejection, which reminds
yeah.
me of that rejection, and all of that. That's when, like, the sort of pure feeling of disappointment goes awry. And so it's at that point, like, you know, I don't want you to not experience your feelings. It's just when they go off on this tangent and then it leads to this feeling worse thing that where the pattern is worth interrupting. Because if you didn't care about this, it wouldn't matter. And so because you care about it, that feeling of disappointment is just a reminder that this matters to you.
Yeah.
And so letting yourself feel that fully without changing anything and letting it stop with that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
For you. So do you want to try a little experiment with this, play around with it a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So I just want you to put yourself back in a recent time when you learned that someone else had was moving ahead in their job search. They had more materials requests or something. A specific time when that happened for you recently.
Right.
Okay, so you have that time?
Yes.
Yes, I could tell you do. So now presumably you're feeling fine, and then you mm-hmm. somehow get this news.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens next?
Then I feel, okay, this is interesting. So first I feel a sense of disappointment and like a little bit of a shock that they didn't ask me for materials. And then it moved pretty quickly actually to being like, what is my advisor going to think? What are others in my department going to think? What are the people that successfully, my friends who successfully got jobs going to think?
And then you're so far gone, like you can't even get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we want to shift this pattern right at the very beginning. And to do that, let's just put that to the side for a moment and get in touch with that feeling that you know that you're okay, that everything's going to be okay.
Mm.
And what's that like for you?
I think for me, it's a sense of like reassurance that my project is good. And it's also like reminding myself of the facts about lots and lots of that it's not about me personally as much as it is about like a fit that the school needs. And that sort of thing. I think it's a like deep assurance that my work is good and is worth being considered, even if not this time.
Right. And the deep assurance that, you want the right fit for you and your work.
Yeah. So that's really interesting because I think my initial, when I have tried to short circuit the response, like the jump into, like the leap into the what if, I think where I have gone instead is like, oh, I didn't really want this, and a kind of shutting down of wanting. So I think actually the thing that scares me is a thought of, like how do you, of trying to recover, trying to hang on to and acknowledge the wanting in the midst of the disappointing and then knowing it will be okay. Like I'm not sure how to want and still know it will be okay in the midst of the disappointment.
Yeah. So what is it like if you really want the right fit?
I think, so if I want the right fit, then that helps me realize, that helps me hang on to the sense that my project is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue there is that my jumping around with the wanting also has to do with like wanting approval because of the place,
right.
Like wanting others to understand that I'm smart or something.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So when you stay with that feeling of wanting the right fit. And you really feel that in your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have that reassurance and the reminders about, you know, there's a place that's just perfect for this.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. And as you feel all of that, go back to learning that someone else has been asked for more information, knowing that you want the right fit. And then what happens? What do you notice? Just let it play through in your mind.
Yeah. Then I think I'm able to say, there's a weird way in which I'm able to say, like, okay, then this option must not have been the best for me.
Mm-hmm. And how much more sure of that can you be?
I think I can be then I find myself going in a place of being like, oh, well, briefly wishing that my project were different, but I think, like, continuing, like, either, like, briefly wishing that my project were different or being like, well, this wouldn't be a good fit for all of these reasons, like, adducing additional, like, problems with that particular job that I got rejected from. So it's interesting to, like, find myself automatically moving into those pathways, but then to kind of come back and be like, okay, the best fit, like, coming back to that place. Then I think coming back to that place, then I'm kind of struck by, like, I did everything I could, and so that's kind of freeing.
Yeah.
Like, if what I want is that it is the best fit, then what I do is make my project as clear as possible. And then there's kind of an assurance about it not, like it's an assurance that it's not the good fit rather than a rejection of me.
Right.
Okay.
Wow. And how much stronger do you feel in that? Like, that you're getting this really valuable information.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, it feels also like it shifts me from a place of, like, resentment and fear to, like, a kind of, like, wishing them well sort of thing.
That's a nice place to be.
Maybe I can only do that now after the initial moment. Interesting.
So I don't know when you'll next hear some information like this. But just imagine what that will be like for you. Knowing that you want the best fit for you and your project.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really helpful.
What it will be. Yeah. So I want you to sort of imagine it for a moment. And what does that feel like when you consider getting news about someone else in the future.
Hmm.
And just let yourself go through that whole process.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think now sort of like envisioning it, I mean, I think it's like the, my heart sinking, but actually coming out of the process with, as I think through that, like feeling that disappointment and being able to recognize the wanting, but then actually letting that drive me back to my, like, it ends up affirming my project.
Yes.
In a way that my spiral drove me to, like, question it and not want to work more on my dissertation. And this actually ends up with me wanting to work more on the project.
Right. Okay. And you're still experiencing all the feelings that come up, but because
yes.
you're staying in touch with what you really want, you know, deep inside, it allows you to feel those feelings of disappointment and have what you really want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. This is really, I feel like my mind has now been completely blown by this. And so, yeah, really, really helpful. I just thought it was going to take a lot more chocolate to get through. But.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Thank you for volunteering and walking through that.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Does anyone have any questions about what just happened or what we did? You can hit 5-star. I think it's 5-star or *5. And if someone else, we have time for one other person to be guided through this, be coached through this process. So if you would like to do that, please raise your electronic hand. Okay, you're unmuted.
Hey, Shannon, it's Elizabeth. By the way, it's *5. I tried both.
*5. Oh, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm good. I have, this seems related. I don't know if I'll be able to explain it clearly, but I've been noticing that if I'm feeling good and then I somehow enter into a situation where feeling good, then
Nope, you've cut out.
Oh, sorry. I often hit the mute button with my cheek.
Oh. So I heard if I have a situation where I'm feeling good and then I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, so I'm feeling good, and then I'm with someone who's not feeling good.
Oh, okay.
If it's sadness, I'm able to be more present and sort of notice what comes up for me and be with them without necessarily being sad myself if it's not appropriate. But when it's something like anger or frustration or annoyance or resentment, I have a much harder time not falling into that because I don't know how to be with that. To me, that feels supportive. Only so So what happens
you mean usually having a similar emotion that they're having feels supportive?
Right. And so either one of three things will usually happen. Either I'll fall into it with them, or I'll kind of fall into it in opposition, which makes me want to argue.
Oh, the dreaded devil's advocate.
Or I will, I don't really, it's like I don't know how to, the third option is just me kind of stuck because I can feel the war in me of wanting to dive in and not wanting to dive in, and then I just don't know what to do, and I don't, nothing feels like the right thing to do because there's an inner war.
Right. Well, I think it'll be most useful if, instead of talking about it sort of in generalities, if you can come up with a specific situation where this has happened to you.
Yeah, so I feel sort of guilty about this, but I had a neighbor come over one day, and in the course of the conversation, she needed support. And in the course of the conversation, she was feeling very frustrated with her siblings and explaining all the things that they had done, and I wanted to be supportive. I really did. But what I found myself doing was trying to explain how what they were doing was really the best for her, which felt pretty awful. But I couldn't stop myself from doing it, because on the one hand I could see that what they were doing was coming from love, but also I could see that really she just really needed someone to sort of hear her and support her.
Right. And so how would you have rather handled that situation?
I think I would have rather just sat and listened. And I think the thing that I'm realizing right now is that I think the problem is that I can see that for emotions that have a tinge of sadness that are on that scale, that sitting and listening is actually an empathic response. But somehow because things that are on those that are related to anger have more, I don't know what the word is, but if they're more active energies, it feels like I have to match it with activity in my voice or in my responses. So silence doesn't feel appropriate when actually it is.
Mm-hmm. And so when you are in touch with that feeling good and resourceful in yourself, because what I suspect is really happening is that when you're seeing anger in someone else, and let me know if I'm on track here, that when you're seeing that in someone else, and it may be just about certain topics, but that it's bringing up things for you from your personal life that, you know, whether you feel like you have a certain insight that she may not have, or that you see things in a different way or whatever, but that it makes you want to respond to it.
Yes, that's probably true. And it is also true that anger, those are all the emotions that I have the most trouble with. So I find it hard to access them in myself. So I think it makes it harder for me to be with it with someone else, because I'm still thinking, wait, is this okay?
And also it may be a way that you're sort of practicing having anger that's not about you.
That's true, because I do think it's okay to be angry on someone else's behalf.
So, you know, that's perhaps a way that, you know, your unconscious mind has allowed you to express anger that feels okay to you. You know, so what it all keeps coming back to, though, is that you're responding with your stuff, which is really hard for us to not do. And that's why being in touch with this feeling of being okay, that you're okay, like when you go back to that situation and you go back to it with the sense that you're really okay and she's expressing what she's expressing, what do you notice? Knowing that you're okay and staying in that moment.
I feel much calmer. And also, I feel sad,
mm-hmm.
which is the thing that was underneath it all. And that I would have been able to just sit and be with that. And and the right responses would have come.
Right.
Or I would have said, I don't know what to say, which if I did, if that was what, like I would have been more comfortable with not knowing what, not knowing what the right thing was to do or even finding what I thought was the right thing.
Right. And trust me, from personal experience, having someone say, I don't know what to say, can be a really comforting thing to hear.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much love in saying to someone, I don't know what to say. So, Elizabeth, when you consider this now, being with your neighbor, expressing her anger, and you are staying with this or keep coming back to this desire to feel good, how does that change things now?
Feels much easier. And because I was thinking in my head, I actually had two scenarios, one of which involved me hiding from this neighbor. When she comes to the court, she knocks, and I know it's her knocking, and I just don't know what to do, so I hide upstairs. I don't like doing that because that feels equally awful. But now, I don't know. Somehow, whatever I do feels calmer and like it's coming from the right place. And even if at some point I may not be able to answer the door and be available, I won't be hiding. Or I might be able to knock and say, or answer and say, I'm so sorry. This, I wish I could help, but now is not a good time. Which feels much better than hiding.
Right. Cool. And it allows you to choose.
Yes. Yes, there's much more space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Shannon.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Elizabeth. So we do still have a bit more time if anyone has a question about what either of the two callers shared, or a question about your own situation that feels like it might be a little bit different, or you're just not sure how to apply this for yourself. If you hit star 5, then I would be happy to guide you through it.
And if there isn't anyone else that has anything, I will go ahead and just run through this again really quickly. So the idea is that when you recognize that you have a situation where you're feeling bad, get in touch with how you really want to be feeling. How and it is great for it to be that sort of deep core sense of being okay, that you're safe, that you're capable, that everything's going to be okay. And start with that feeling, whatever that is for you. And then notice what feelings come up for you. And it's really great to practice this in your mind, you know, with situations from the past where you've experienced this. And just notice how it transforms those situations. Like with both callers, you know, we practice with situations that had happened in the past. And that really helps it encode in your unconscious mind of how you want this new pattern to work. And then take it out into the future and imagine what it will be like when that situation comes up again. And notice what happens with your emotions, how you feel in your body, what action you take or don't take. And practicing that out into the future will help you respond the way you want to. It will ingrain the process, and it will also help you remember. The more frequently you practice this, the easier it will be for you to remember in those times when you aren't feeling good and you want to be feeling good so that you can move forward in ways that support you. So with that, if there aren't any other questions or comments, I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. Thank you so much for being here today and being a part of this call. I appreciate you being on all of the calls, and it's really thrilled that I have the opportunity to do this with you every month. So again, this is Shannon Wilkinson with ExploreAndPlay@PerceptionStudios.net. Talk to you next time. Thanks.